There are a lot of memories that are here. Chuck and Mary. Mary, where were you when Chuck proposed to you? I don't know if you heard that or not, on the parking lot of 36th Street. Chuck, we won't ask you if it turned out good or bad, but that's one of the memories that's here, and I just thought that is so, so great. Virginia Ford says, I have so many happy memories of Palm Beach Lakes, I can't get them all down. And I think that about says it all and everything. And then there are a lot of things that have to do with soul. Here's one. Does this bring up a memory? And if you want to talk about this in a minute, go ahead and talk about it. I remember Bob Haynes greeting everybody in our parking lot. You remember that? That's a part of this church. You don't know who Bob Haynes is, right? You don't have a clue who Bob Haynes is. Some are shaking their head. Well, there's a granddaughter over here shaking her head. Yeah, I know Bob Haynes, okay? I remember New Year's Eve's and Ladies' Days. And there's so many stories about Ladies' Days. I remember Monday night for the Masters. And I don't know what this one is. Pete said if I'd ask him, he'd tell me all about it. But Pete talks so much, I don't know whether to talk this or not. But I remember the surprise visit of Carrie and Tommy to Pete and Pat Brown. Pete was on the couch in his underwear. So I just, but Pete said he would tell about that. So I may have gotten the punchline, but I just think that's what I want this next several minutes to be, is for people just to remember the story. What about this one? The all-day working party painting the building. You remember that? That's a heritage that was over on 36th Street, and we planned to paint that building in one day, and we had planned for people to come in about 3 or 4 o'clock with ice cream and celebration. You remember how many people we had involved in that? 300. It's actually 301. I think the Lord was there. And so, but we painted that building, and by noon we were finished. It was on the news, yes, and the newspaper, and there's a newspaper clipping that's out there. I remember Mona Faulkner's ladies' class. You remember that? And here's one. I remember June Haynes' white carpet. I have no, you, anybody that wants to can talk about that, but something about when you go into June's house, take your shoes off. I understand that was a, what about this one? I remember the teenagers holding up song numbers on a broomstick to start the songs before worship assembly. Anybody want to talk about that? And just because, see, they don't have a clue on a broomstick. They don't have a clue what that's all about. And you may have been one of those teens that was in charge of the broomstick. I'm not sure. But I remember everybody gets his say, nobody gets his way when we're trying to plan the new building. I remember Joe Holland's announcements. Anybody dare want to talk about that? I remember Carrie and Tommy's welcomes to Palm Beach Lakes party. And then there was another about they enjoyed the going away party even more. I'm not sure if that went down here. Here's one. I know nothing about it. Larry Grizzell's Christian Action Class. You remember that? Here's one from the Browns. I remember Tim Brown crawled under the pews, crawled up to Dan while he was preaching. Dan reached down, picked him up, and kept right on preaching. So, you know, that's an amazing thing. And the kid was only 14, so that was amazing. I remember Ray Duncan was always so upbeat. You know, the name Ray Duncan means, how many of you ever heard Ray Duncan preach on 36th Street or North Hollywood? Well, there's a lot more of you. How many of you present members at Palm Beach Lakes heard Ray Duncan? That's great. That is still a good number there, okay? This is one from Olive Street Memories. I remember the fellowship with Christian teens and families bowling on Friday nights. How about that? I'd say that's not a part of me, but somebody's got that as a remembrance of it. The Greenside Up Day, I remember going to the park and all of my teachers. I remember camping, devos, and several youth activities. I remember the egg hunt at the Ingrams. I'd forgotten about that one, okay. I remember the second grade, all boys, about 12 of them, Bible class on promotion Sunday, marching to class with Ron Brackett singing. Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? I remember a ladies' clash at Rita and Dwayne Lanham's, 1977. Anybody want to talk about the snake that got loose at Dwayne's house? Anybody know that? Went up there for the singing? That was my introduction to Dwayne, by the way. He didn't tell a soul until it was a month later before he found it. Somebody else can tell that story. I remember the Christmas parties at Dan and Judy's. I remember the men's MASH retreat. You guys remember that? Whenever we had that military retreat over in the old building. Ladies' soup supper at the Ingrams. Great, great memories. Here's one. And this is, Paul Jordan, I saw him write this one. I remember we sold bonds in one day for Palm Beach Lakes Church to raise money and sold them all in one day. Remember how many we sold, what the number was? $4.5 million worth in one day. I'm lying, okay? I remember North Olive picnics at Curry Park and playing baseball with June Haynes competitiveness. And to hear her tell it, they never lost, okay? I remember our school, Carrie Kane, teaching our boys Chuck and Stephen the books of the Bible forward and backwards. Was it punishment or was it normal classroom work? I don't know. That was the question. North Olive, I remember Brother Duncan hypnotizing everybody at Vacation Bible School. Remember that? Ray Duncan preached here and was one of the top-notch hypnotists. And so he just hypnotized anybody that wanted to be hypnotized. Now, the rest of it says, June Haynes was the easiest and funniest as he kept her under and let everybody else out of it. And I remember June when I come down here talking about Ray Duncan, about he could just snap his finger and she'd be out of it just like that. Too bad Bob couldn't do that. Anyway, I remember non-talent talent shows. I've got a few more of these, but I wonder what memories you have. Now, let me tell you, if you start a long, long story and I put my hand on your shoulder, that means shut up, okay? All right, who's got a story, okay? Joe's got a story. You going to make an announcement or just have a story? Okay.
I remember a Halloween party at our house, and Tommy Kane was about 8 months pregnant and came dressed as a priest. Carrie came dressed as a nun, 8 months pregnant. Funny. I also remember lots of SEWs, S-E-W's, Spiritual Enrichment Weekends, how great they were.
Is there one about Shirley Haynes being Tammy Faye? I saw that on the board. Shirley Haynes. Where did we get all these Haynes here? I'll let somebody else tell the story because that, There it is. Was it up there? Okay. Oh, there's the pregnant kid. That's Carrie on the right, and that's Tommy on the left. And the one on the left is 8 months pregnant. I want you to know that. What a great story. Who's got another one? Who's got one? All right, back here in the back.
I wonder if there's anybody here that remembers the SEW a few years back that had a hard time figuring out what they was going to use for their play for that night. And somehow or other, I went out into the lake in a canoe, and the wind caught it, flipped the canoe upside down, and the alligators and stuff around, I don't know how fast I got out of that water, and everybody hollering. But that night, all of the kids were about the canoe flipping and all about me and the alligators and stuff.
I remember that so. I remember somebody came running in and said, Norm has flipped the canoe again. And David Palmer and John Holzer and some of the others got up, thought it had really happened. They ran out to try to rescue him. Was there another hand back here? No. You was going to talk about that, okay. Did you flip a canoe, Puckett?
No, I caught fish that they made skids
into. Yes, he caught a fish that they made skids into, okay. Who's got other memories? Pete?
Other than Carrie Kane. One time when I was printing the bulletin our illustrious weather people lost a hurricane, and it came up 441. Pat and I and Chet and Lonnie went to the church building on 36, or down on Olive. We were there right in the middle of the hurricane. The front window blew out, so I found some plywood, patched that thing up. We printed a bulletin, and we slept down there. The kids slept in the nursery, and then the next morning when the hurricane was gone, we come back home.
What a way to go. And it had a tin roof. Here we go.
Dan told you about Tim coming up to the pulpit while he was preaching, but the rest of that story is we talked to him recently and said, do you remember going up there when Dan was preaching? He says, yeah, and I remember that, and I'll tell you what happened. Reason why I went up there, because Dan's sermon was so long, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I wanted to tell him to stop.
So anybody else that wants to do that while I'm preaching, just crawl on up there, okay? Who's got a story? Who's got a story?
I'm going to stand up here where you can't tap me on the shoulder, because I've got 13, 14, 15 closer. All right. Does anybody remember Mark the Bird Fidrich? Used to pitch for the Detroit Tigers, and you never knew what he was going to do. Well, that's the way Joe Holland's announcements were. Mark the Bird, Joe the Bird Holland, I guess we'd name him. But I had to be the best one. But he made them interesting every time he got up there, as best I remember. But one time he got up, I think we were visiting here on this time, but it doesn't make any difference. He got up there, and we had white cards and blue cards. The white cards were for the members. The blue cards were for the visitors. And most of you know the story, but he got up and announced about that, and he said, we'd like our white members to sign the white card. And and that's when he kind of stopped, you know, because he knew he didn't have any blue members. So he... that went over well. Well, while I'm talking about race, many of you don't know about my first date with Pearl L. Well, I only had one date with Pearl L, and it wasn't my idea. It was Pearl's idea that it turned out to be only one date. But she asked me for a date. And what it was, she worked for a bread company or a bakery here in town. I don't remember which one it was. What was it? Arnold's. Okay. And they used to have a holiday party and quit having it for several years. And she and two or three or 50 other people, I don't know, went to the head honchos and asked if they could have another party this year. And they put Pearl in charge of it. And Pearl said that there would be no drinking at this party. And there was no drinking at that party. And she asked me to come to lead the prayer before they ate. And for some of these folks, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was the first prayer they ever heard firsthand, you know. And after the party was over, the folks that were there came by, and I don't know how many there were, but so many of them came by, and they were talking to Pearl. I was just a bystander. I was just her date, you know, standing over here. But so many came over and said, we had no idea that you could have this much fun without drinking. And I loved Pearl before that. But when I saw her, the influence she had on these people, I loved her even more at that time. Speaking about being drunk, I got one more story. When Tommy and I were getting ready to move, Tommy was not drunk, but we had an outing with the elders and their wives, and we had a fantastic time. We went to, and I don't remember what the name of the restaurant was, but a good steak place, and we had a meal together, and we laughed and hollered and cut up, and I'm surprised we didn't get thrown out for being drunk. We were having such a good time. Well, after we finished eating, somebody said, well, let's go have dessert so-and-so place. It's one of these places where you get ice cream and they come out ringing bells and all that sort of thing, you know. And we went there and had ice cream for dessert. And after that, somebody said, well, and it was getting late by that time, somebody said, well, let's go someplace or other. I think your daughter was working at this Denny's or some kind of place like that for coffee. And so, was it Julie? Okay, we went there for coffee. Well, by that time, we might as well have been drunk because we were tired and had been up a long time and were laughing about everything and even things that weren't funny we'd be laughing at. And I was sitting right across the table from Betty Davis. And somebody, we were drinking coffee and I was drinking coffee, and somebody said something that I thought was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And I held it in as long as I could. And finally, I exploded, kept my lips together as best I could. And the finest spray you ever saw in your life went across that table and completely covered Betty Davis.
That explains one of these cards about I remember Betty Davis being spit on. I didn't know what that was all about, okay? Let me come back over here, but Jim, I want Jim to. I don't know if you know Jim Sullivan. He has sold more of Bill Hatcher's books than anybody on this earth. The first time I ever heard the name was just a month after I got down here, and June says, "Well, Jim's ordered another box of Bill Hatcher's books." And 10 years later, he was still ordering boxes of Bill Hatcher's books. Tell him when you were here, Jim. Nobody knows.
Well, 52 years ago, I made my first trip to West Palm Beach, and I think it was through the providence of God because the Air Force sent me over here for a school. And when I came here, I found the congregation, and when I got there, there was this pretty little girl. And after I got her name, which turned out to be Glenda Moss, I got acquainted with her mother and daddy, and I asked them, "Can I marry your daughter?" And they said, "Yeah, take her off our hands." And so I then said, "Glenda, guess what? You're took." Well, there was a guy here by the name of Red Johnson. And Red said, when you get married, you know how people are. They want to mess up your car. So we're going to take your car down to a service station and leave it, and I'm going to haul you around. And so when the wedding was over, we thought, man, we've got it made. So he took us up to the station, and we started to run and get in the car, and somebody followed him and dumped a whole sack full of rice into our car. And 6 months later, we were still trying to get it out. But I was bragging on your young people now, but I think about the young people you raised 52 years ago. And Lord willing, a week from tomorrow will be our 52nd anniversary. Thank you.
When Carrie's talking about this is home, Jim loves this place. You left here what year, Jim? 1964 is when he left here. Is that 44 years ago? And the attitude he has toward this place, folks. I don't know of another congregation on earth. I know they exist. I just don't know about them. But I don't know of another congregation on earth that has this kind of ties. And people, when they think about Palm Beach Lakes, there's just a warm, fuzzy feeling that you have there. And young people, see, you've grown up here. There's just no way for you to know how special this place is. But when 40 years later somebody comes back, it says something about this place. There's some hands back here.
I have two quick ones. Dan has always done the pew packers with the little kids on Sunday evenings, and my kids used to love it. When Chad was little, one day he came home and he said he wanted to get this little book that he had that was Bible trivia. And I was asking him about it, and I said, "Well, why do you want the little Bible trivia book that we had that we would go through at night reading to him?" He said, "Well, Mr. Dan only knows 5 questions. I got to give him my book." My second memory is David and I worked with the third through fifth grade for a long time, and we had a costume party with the kids. And it was back when Paul and Maria Jones were here. They were a deaf couple that had a couple kids that were in the group. And so one of the games we played was where you took the toilet paper and wrapped somebody up like a mummy. And Paul had volunteered to be one of the people to get wrapped up. And the two teams wrapped their people up. And in the end, we said, okay, now mummies break free. Paul stood perfectly still. And everybody was just standing there like, what's going on? Okay, you can break free. And then it dawned on us, he was deaf.
That's great. That is great.
I got two quick memories. One, we've heard a lot about Bob Haynes. We actually started the teen group, in the late 60s. And we would go to different events, different congregations would have things, and we were brought around with Jackson. What was Jackson's first name? Big guy. Anyway, Roger Jackson, that's it, yeah. And Bobby Haynes was schooled well, and he was a musician. They gave him an accordion, which isn't the most exciting, the most stupendous kind of instrument that people can do, and he was somewhat embarrassed about it. He wouldn't tell his parents, of course, but so when we go to these events, he'd bring his accordion for some entertainment while we were having lunch, that kind of thing. Well, because he wasn't excited about an accordion, he would put it on a table, and he would make me push the bellows in and out so he could play it like a piano. So that was fun. That was my foray into musicianship. And the other one was when Dan first came here. Of course, he's been teaching Bible class and preaching every sermon. And there was three people in his early Bible classes that apparently asked a lot of questions and did a lot of things that maybe broke up the class a little bit. They turned out to be Joy Judd, which was Joy Johnson, and myself, and Lou Hanna. And at one point, apparently, we were at our best, and he says, you know, it's like talking to the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Joy and I couldn't figure out how Lou could be both two of the three of those, you know.
That's great. Let me ask you to raise your hand. How many of you had a car stolen on 36th Street? Here's one right here. Somebody put this up. I remember the stealing of the Dixie Flyer.
Once upon a time, I had a big white pickup truck. And everybody on the street was naming their boat, so I decided I'd name my truck. So I called it the Dixie Flyer. And it was almost sinful pride I had in that truck. And somebody came up and tapped me on the shoulder right toward the end of worship and said, did you know somebody just drove your truck off the lot? So I went back out, and sure enough, it was gone. And someone said, we saw it down the road. Well, there were a couple of deacons there, and Dan Fuller and Richard Long Henry. Richard jumped in his car, and Dan jumped in his minivan, and I jumped in the van with Dan. Now, this minivan had a license plate on the front that said, Super Mom. We took out after that truck. We chased them down Tamron Avenue, and they whipped around and were going off. And Richard, bless his heart, he said, I think I can cut them off. He pulled out in front of that truck, and they took my truck and rammed his car. Now, we were perturbed. They headed out across a vacant lot, and Supermom band right in the back of them. They pulled around back of a grocery store back in the back alley. I said, now, Dan, let's be careful here. We eased around there, and there was that truck with both doors open and two shadows running off across the railroad tracks. About that time, the police showed up. Said, well, it's a good thing you finally got here. And poor Richard,
I didn't know what to do. He had to get his car fixed, so I bought him a set of Gospel Advocate commentaries for appreciation.
Now, you see, it's stories like this that just makes me absolutely convinced when Paul and Barnabas got back that they told stories like this. I cannot imagine it.
I remember flying tennis balls. Would you like to tell the story?
No.
Well, too bad. You really want to? Flying tennis balls during the sermon? Do you want to tell about the preacher that had his son stand up and throw tennis balls at him while he was preaching?
These young men over here someday may be preachers. I need to tell you how not to do it. I wanted to preach about the existence of God. And I wanted to show that there's no movement without a mover. And I thought, now how can I illustrate that if there's movement, there's got to be a mover? And so while I'm up preaching, at a particular point in my sermon when I said the right word, I guess it was Jonathan that did it. Jonathan stood up behind the columns that were more prominent in that building on 36th Street than this, and hardly anybody saw him. And I moved to the other side of the stage, and Jonathan started throwing tennis balls at me while I was preaching. And the whole point was, people didn't look at me, didn't look at the tennis balls. They looked to see who was the mover of the tennis balls. I'm surprised you remember that. You remember that. What about the UPS sermon? Anybody remember the UPS sermon? Chet Brown was working for as a temporary help during the Christmas rush. And I asked Chet, was he allowed to wear the uniform outside of work? And he said, yes. So on one Sunday morning, I preached a sermon, and just as I got in the middle of my sermon, Chet walked in and had his sunglasses on. I don't know if many people even knew who he was. And he said, I have a delivery here for Dan Jenkins. And I excused myself from the church. I said, I've been wanting to get this. And so we got over there, and he says, it's COD. And I said, I took whatever money I had out of my billfold, and I said, I've got $36 or whatever it was. He said, I'll take that, but it's not enough. So I then took my checkbook and savings book and gave him whatever amount of money he had in my checkbook and in my savings book. And I'd go over there and he'd say, I'll take it, but that's not enough. It's not worth what's in that box. I said, well, I've got to have what's in that box. Now, Chet did throw me a curve when I offered him all my credit cards. And he said, UPS doesn't take credit cards. And I said, take these anyway. And in that sermon, I had my golf clubs and tennis rackets up behind the pulpit stand. I gave him all of those. I gave him the deed to the house, and I said, I've got to have what's in that box. Well, about this time, all the little kids were saying, Mama, what's he got in that box and everything? And when I couldn't get it, some of the kids were saying, oh, no. You know, they kept trying to figure what was in the box. And finally, I gave him my family. I had a photo of my family. I gave him my family. I gave him the coat off my back. And finally, I went over there in frustration. I said, you know, I have given you, and I listed everything. I've given you everything except my life. And he said, I'll take that, and what's in the box is yours. Opened up the box, and somebody had made a model of the Palm Beach Lakes Church. And as one deacon said, that's not preaching. I will never forget that. He's no longer a deacon here anyway, but I... All right, there was another hand up back over here.
We became Christians in 1984. We went to Spiritual Enrichment Weekend for the first time, and we knew it was supposed to be spiritually related. So we sat down at the dinner table, and there was a wine list on the dinner table. And I leaned over to Kip and I thought, what have we got ourselves into? And with that, Chet Brown walks up and he says, what do you want for dinner? I thought, I got it. And the other thing I will eternally be grateful for, and I don't think anybody knows this, but it's always right to do right. And it's always wrong to do wrong.
Thank you. We've had some real fun with our signers here. We started a deaf work, and unfortunately didn't have any of the deaf here this morning, but we've had some real interesting signs that have been made, and some of them have just been absolutely, you just would not believe them. But Mickey or somebody have to tell me the difference in the word lunch and the word lesbian. What's the word for lunch? Lunch is this way. Lunch is this way, and lesbian's this way. And so somebody said they have a free lunch program downtown, and it was signed, they have a free lesbian program downtown. Probably the best one happened in this building that I think of, and Tracy was signing. And on the first Sunday night of the month, I just let people write questions, and they turn in the question. I don't have any idea what the question is going to be, and so I just answer the question as they're turned in. Somebody turned in the question, is it wrong to give someone the finger? And as this lady says, there is no way to sign that. And so I got to thinking about it. Even as I read it, I thought, I think I said it. I wonder how this ought to be signed. And so I walked over and I said, I want to read this again. I'd like to see how Tracy signs it. So Tracy says, is it wrong to give somebody the finger? She went like this and then did this. And I thought that was really ingenious. The deaf wanted to help her out, so the deaf gave her the finger while she was signing. Here's a story. I don't mean to dominate, but the only miracle I ever performed in my life was on Mary, the deaf lady, Mary's, Paul's wife, Marie Jones. I had a ladies' day here, and I came down after the ladies' day to make sure the building was locked, and pick up Judy and just to make sure everything was finished. And I looked down this hallway here, and down at the end of the hallway, there was a light on in that restroom that was down there. So everybody had left it, so I thought. And so I just stuck my head and opened the door, knocked on the door, and I said, is anybody in here? Well, nobody said anything. So I turned the light out, and the deaf spoke. I turned that light on and ran back down to the other part of the building. And I've never told this publicly ever in my life. And if I want Marie to know who did it, I'll tell you, okay? Here's one. Would somebody talk about this? Jerry Hopkins? Know your Bible broadcasting with Ray Duncan.
Oh, yes.
They don't know what that's all about.
Well, Ray had great recall of scriptures, and he was great on Know Your Bible. And somebody said a while ago that he always had a positive attitude, but things he said were not always positive. Two things particularly. We had these faith healers come into town with the tents, and they were, healing everybody. And so they called into the program, and Ray said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll go to the hospital, and you heal the first one, and I'll heal the second one. We'll empty the hospital. Then we'll go to the cemetery. You raise the first one, and I'll raise the second one. We'll empty the cemetery. One thing that he said was kind of tough, but anyway, a guy had written in. He said, how could someone become so ignorant in less than a lifetime? I'll never know. But Ray had great recall of the scriptures, and he was a great... When? Oh, yeah, it was... Yeah, that was an interesting day. I think it was on Saturday about 12:30, something like it. And of course, I was not that far from the station, and so I was home, sitting at home, and all of a sudden got a watching the TV, and the program was about to come on, and I was going to be the moderator that day. So I think I broke every speed limit in town getting out of the program. I like to tell one story about exactly while Bill Hatcher was here, and Harold Keithley had his own plane, and Bill and Harold, of course, and Don Spurlock, and who's used to be Danny Johnson's father-in-law, huh? His father-in-law. No, Wingo, Marty Wingo, and so we flew out to Lubbock, landed first at Garland, spent the night with the Bill's folks, and then went on to Lubbock. And then on the way back, Bill stayed out there, and we picked up a member of the church from St. Petersburg, and so he was riding in the co-pilot seat since he had flown some. And we're coming back into Tampa to drop him off. And we were getting a little bit low on fuel, I think. And Don Spurlock was getting very, very nervous. And Marty finally said to him, Don, you got to have faith. I said, yeah, but faith without gas is dead. You know what I mean?
Young people, back at that time, there might have been three television stations here. It was a long time before cable. And the most popular thing in America at the time was baseball. And so the Saturday broadcast, that Saturday baseball game, everybody in the county would listen to it. And the church here paid to get Ray Duncan on just right before that game came on. And it was a Know Your Bible, just call in and ask Bible questions, and he would answer them. And later Bill Hatcher was on the same thing. And it had an outreach and a profound impact on this county. Really, really had a profound impact. Yes? How about that? The teens were out knocking on doors 30 minutes before the program came on the air. To say, you know what's about to come on television or everything. Isn't that great? There are a lot of names here of some people, and you want to just call out some names? I remember Red Johnson's finger poking you in the chest. Laddie, do you remember it? What? How did he do it?
I remember it. He'd get your attention all the time he was talking.
Isn't that amazing? That's Ruby Johnson's husband, and I remember Bob Haynes, Harold Pack, Dana Barnhouse, Bill Powell. I remember Bill and Peggy Hatcher. And there was another one right below that. I remember Bill and Peggy Hatcher, and we missed them. Bill preached at this church, altogether associated with the church, probably 14 years. I think that's about the right number. In just a minute, okay. And he started a school of spiritual development, which was a preacher training school at Palm Beach Lakes. I thought about things I remembered about Bill, and I remember his beautiful handwriting on the chalkboard, and I remember his ability to write Greek words while he was preaching. I will never... You know, never ever forget his ability to turn right around and on the chalkboard there, right while he was preaching. Anybody want to talk about the building at 36th Street and that chalkboard that was there? Go ahead. You want to see Bill Powell?
Well, Bill Powell's name was mentioned back. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Back a good number of years ago, 13, 14 years ago, in our family, we had a very serious problem. And it was serious enough that I really didn't know where I was going to turn and what I was going to do. It's the first time in my life that I can recall now that I ever felt that way. And I got a phone call from Bill Powell. And I'm not going to go into any details about what it was, but he said, I know what you're going through. And I want to tell you about when I went through a similar thing. And it was the most soothing thing, other than Jesus talking to me in the scripture. I think, that I've ever heard in my life. Judy did a very similar thing. When we talked to the two of you, she said some things about it. But Bill Powell is a great man in my life because of what he did to help me and Tommy through a very difficult time.
Special man, wasn't he? Bill was such a special man.
I think, in my memory, having grown up here, June, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, or Sadie, was not Marshall Keeble the first black man to stand in our pulpit? And did that not happen under W. Ray Duncan? And then we did exchange gospel meetings with Liberty City in Miami, right? We did gospel meetings exchange with Liberty City in Miami, which is just absolutely, you know, but we would go down there, flocks of us, it felt like, as a teenager, we would take a busload into Liberty City, and Brother Duncan would get up there and preach. And they had ladies in white nurse uniforms that if your baby cried, they came and got it and took it to the nursery. We were so good. Can I tell you how good we were? But then they came, and their preacher came and preached in our pulpit. But to be able to say that Marshall Keeble was in our building on 36th Street is just awesome.
And you got to understand, that was at that really wretched time where racial prejudice was just you know, running rampant in this land. You know that story, or you want me to tell it? I love your stories, okay? You have to tell what New Year's Eve get-together is.
Oh, what New Year's Eve get-together is, that's where we'd all get together and just display our talents. And it was supposed to be a lot of fun, and you're supposed to do kind of entertaining things. And first time I'd ever been to anything like that, and I was sitting next to Joe Holland. And there were some folks that meant well, and they were getting up there, and when we were all supposed to have a big time having fun, they didn't really understand the occasion. And they were singing hymns, and I could tell Joe was getting real uncomfortable. He was thinking, oh, man, what does Bill think this church is all about? And he was uncomfortable with it, and I could tell it. Well, I'd brought my banjo. So when I came up, I sat on a stool and put my banjo up and hit my G chord and said, y'all know Amazing Grace, don't you?
You know why he has white hair?
One quick thing on Bill Powell. One thing that he used to do is call the college kids while they were away, and he maintained contact with them. I didn't know that for a long time. But our son Jerry, we had a hamster at home, and our son Jerry thought the hamster needed religion, so he brought it to church to show the other kids, and it's crawling around. I didn't know it for a long time, and I finally found out, and Tom Massey says, oh, don't punish him, says he was just doing what he thought was good.
They later wrote a song about it, changed to a squirrel, but it was not...
At one time, Ray Duncan decided he was going to have a debate with the Baptist preachers up at White City, and my husband had a reel-to-reel recorder, so Ray wanted him to come and record the message. So June and Bob and Bill and I went with Ray every night. They would not permit the black people in the church, so Bill wired speakers outside the church so that members of the church, the black members, could hear the debate going on inside. And this was about a week that they had the debate.
Ray really loved the truth. I mean, that, you know, I only met him the one time at some homecoming, I guess it's 1983, but I knew of his name and reputation every place he'd ever been. A man in Tennessee had a profound impact in my life. Talked about Ray Duncan when Ray preached in Tuscaloosa, and that had to be many, many years before he was here. Pearl's got a story.
Uh-oh. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody know Dan Jenkins. You know how good he is at everything he does. And I always have people over to my house after work because we've been worked all night long. And poor little Dan, Cheryl said, Pearl, you think Dan coming today? I said, I don't know. I surely hope so. So we all getting our little breakfast and everything ready. And then this guy from the work, he came and knocked on the door. Well, he and Dan got there by the same time. And I said, Dan, this is Pond something. Dan said, Pearl? Don't you know how to pronounce his name? I said, Dan, I sure don't. He said, well, let me tell you then how to pronounce his name. Pearl, you look at your knee. Is it loose? I said, no. Okay. You think about your knee, and you think about the pond, a pond. And now you know his name, Pond Loose Neek.
I'm glad Pearl didn't tell some other stories she knows and everything. I don't know. It's probably time for us to stop for just a minute, I think. And there's one here. I really guess I need to tell this. It's about me and Dan Jenkins' nose joke from the little girl at the Christian school. On 36th Street, we had the Christian school that was there. And you may remember that the water fountain was, well, you remember where the office was. It was not a part of the auditorium. It was across the breezeway, and there was the water fountain. And my office was right beside that water fountain. Well, they would bring the little kids down to the water fountain to get a drink. And I just, totally out of character, I guess. But I just thought, wouldn't it be interesting if I convinced them that I had a dog in my office? So that these little kids would come down to the water fountain and hear this dog barking. And so then it elevated from that. What if it was a real big dog? And so they came down to get a drink of water. And every time they'd come get a drink of water, I would bark like a real big dog, run outside, slam the door, and say, stay in there, killer. So that's the first part of this story, okay? The second part of this story was we had the Christian school. They'd started a daycare program. And Gwen's shaking her hand because it was your class, right? Or was it Gwen? It was Anita's class. It was Anita's class, and so they had daycare, and it was back in the kitchen area over in the building. And I got there early, wanted to put something in the fridge, but that's where the daycare was, and they dropped the kids off, and the door was locked. And I rattled the door and looked in the window, and I thought, oh, I'll just carry it in there later. So whenever school starts, this little first grader comes to Anita Genduso and says, somebody tried to get us this morning. Well, Anita... Her eyes got pretty excited, you know. Yeah, said he was a bad man. He was trying to get us. Well, now Anita's really got her attention now, you know. Well, what? He tried to break in the door and get us. Well, who was he? I don't know, but I know where he works. And so she takes the kid and, you know, trying to figure this out. And on the way back down there, these two sentences come out. I know where he works. He's got a dog named Killer, and his nose be like this. For 5 years, I walked into this pulpit, and Miss Loins back here, who likes to be called Miss Lyons, but Gwen Loins and Anita Genduso, when I would get up to preach, would be listening to me preach. Doing this. So what great memories. What great memories. You want to call names of people? We mentioned Bob and Bill and any other names? Who? Bob Medlock. Who? Dean Reynolds. Hayward Milton. D. Manwaring, Jesse Ford, Harvey Ford, who? Fort. Harvey Fort, okay. Bill Sproul. Bill Sproul. Russell Wagner. Red Springer. Alvin Witt. Ron Cullum. Who? Al Frieder. There's a card up here about Al Frieder's corn roast. You want to know where the lectureship corn roast comes from? North Olive. Wilbur Black. Marshall Borland. Claudia Springer. Bob Davis, Ruby Hazelwood. That's the one I kept waiting for. Clarence Dixon. You want a story about Clarence? Ask Robert Martin, because Robert was preaching that time. But during the invitation song, I think it was Marion Sherrod that was coming down the aisle. She was on a walker or something. And so she was having trouble walking, and so Clarence, who was sitting back here, sort of tries to help her walk getting up here, and he gets to about this position, and his pants drop down. He turned Marion loose in a hurry, and a lot of people never saw that happen. That is how quickly that happened. Ask Robert Martin the next time he's down here, did he ever have any experience during an invitation song? But I tell you, I miss Clarence. Clarence was a cheerleader of mine like you wouldn't believe. I mean, just constantly praising. And just amazing. He loved the name Sproul, didn't he, David? David Sprocket, he called him. David Sprocket. Now, you're not allowed to do that. I'm the only one allowed to do it. I'm only allowed to do it one time a year. But I just to honor Clarence, it's David Sprocket. Eileen Belden had the florist shop. There are so many other names. Yes, Bill Coleman. I mentioned his name earlier today, but my, oh my, what a powerful man Bill Coleman was, and the influence he still has. Can I tell you the Evelyn story that happened yesterday? She's 97, right? Celebrating her birthday. Her daughters are down here. The lady who runs the place there, what's her name, Jared Slipson? Mary Kay. Runs the place that's there, and so there are these two people that walk up with Bibles in their hand. They assume that they're from the church. Mary Kay says that Evelyn has twice as many visitors as everybody else over there combined in that place where she's staying. So Mary Kay, she's mowing the grass out front, and so she just tells them, well, just going in, assuming they're going to see Evelyn. Well, whenever they're ready to leave, she stops stops mowing the grass, and she says, now you come back now. And they said, oh, we don't think we will come back. They walk inside, and the nurse that's in charge of that place said, do you know those were Jehovah's Witnesses? And Evelyn punched them back to the wall so hard that says, what you're teaching is not in the Bible, at 97 years of age. And they said, we're not going back to that place again. That's Palm Beach Lakes. That's Palm Beach Lakes. So many other names over here, and saw Dwight, and I thought about your brother, Dwayne. That's amazing. Richard Cole. Remember Bear? Richard Cole, yes. Some great stories about him. Sure. Wait a minute. We got to hear this one.
After ladies' class one night, we were already in the ladies' night, and we were already in the car, and Mom was sitting in the back seat, and Mary Lou Amos, that was a little heavier than Mom, came running out and said, Irma, how old are you? She says, Mary Lou, you tell me how much you weigh, and I'll tell you how old I am.
Irma told Shirley, "Don't you tell them how old I am. They'll treat me like I'm an old woman." How old was she when she died? She was 99 when she died. And she was 95 whenever she said, "Don't you tell them how old I am. They'll treat me like I'm an old woman." What a delightful person. Pat? Putting her makeup on. That's great. Folks, it's been great. It's been great. And I don't know how to end this other than just say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done and making this day so very, very special. And we'll have another one. I'm not sure when. It's been 15 years. I think that's too long. I know Inell started a reunion with the people from Athens Bible School, and they started having it every 5 years. And all of a sudden, there were less and less coming because they were all dying. So now they have it annually. So, but I would just like to think that in 5 years we would be doing this again, and with the kind of response that you all have given to us in making this day so special. And I guess Jerry's got something to say. And Jerry, if you'll lead us in a closing prayer.
Okay. It's been a wonderful weekend. And just want to, again, express our thanks and appreciation for all of you that have come from other places to come back home. And it's so great to see you. Wish we had more time to visit with you and about what's going on in your life. But thank you so much for coming. Dwight, appreciate your song leading. It's great as always. And give our love to your family. And Carrie and Tommy, we're always happy to see you all and glad that you were able to be here as well. And Bill, thank you for coming, and we thank a lot of your family and give our love to all of them. And we want to express our appreciation to so many members of the congregation here that have done yeoman work in making plans and making all of these things happen. Somebody, this is a story that just happened yesterday. Shirley and I drove up and had some food to take in, and I stopped the car right by where the guys were grilling the burgers and dogs and took the food in and ran into Bob Oler, and he started talking, and I forgot all about my car. And after a while, she said something about glasses, and I said, "I'll go to the car and get them." The car? Somebody that was cooking, thankfully, I left the keys in the car, and they moved it over and parked it out of the way. Was that you, Pete? Oh, thank you. I'm glad you didn't hit the column out there either. Okay. And the CDs that Dan mentioned, he says any of the members that want them, they're out there for you now to pick up as you leave. Joe, anything I needed to add? Glad for all you white and blue members that are here today. Will you please bow? Loving Father, we're so grateful to you for blessing our lives in so many ways, and thankful for this weekend that we've enjoyed spending time with loved ones, members of our spiritual family. We pray that you'd be with those that are traveling and give them a safe journey to their home. We're thankful for Jesus and the church that he purchased with his blood, and that we're privileged to be a part of it. We pray that you'd forgive us where we failed you. Help us to live in such a way that we will enjoy heaven's home together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.